Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to my podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at the blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I usually put that on my Twitter. My Twitter is Stephen the Warman. I try to be as regular as I can, but sometimes I miss a week here and there, but most of the time I'm usually every week. The other way to get this show is by going to the iTunes search engine, enter Warman Kickfighting Show, and it pops right up. Also, you can enter Lord Gaul, which was my username back when I fell in love with kickboxing, back when I was on Kakatugi, K1 Fans, K1 USA, and so on. So I got a nice little show for you today. Going to talk about some Kunlun. Going to talk about some Muay Thai Grand Prix, some news as far as their connections with line fight, and it should, you know, all in all, it should be a good little show for you guys. Go ahead and jump into it. First and foremost, we're going to go ahead and do Kunlun, who did a show. Kunlun 45 did a show on, I believe it was the 6th of July, or excuse me, of June, and some good stuff and some one-sided stuff, but we'll go ahead and go through it. First of all, let's go ahead and hit up the tournament. Yojihiro Nagashima, also known as Junutsu, the guy who comes out in the Japan anyways, he comes out in the female anime character, and he took on Gu Hu, who of course is a guy who I've mentioned on the show before. He's a regular on Kunlun. He's a Chinese fighter, and of course they want more Chinese fighters to emerge, and as you guys have heard me say in this show weekly, when I talk about Kunlun and I talk about some of the shows they're doing, they're giving you so many opportunities to compete that you're starting to see more Chinese names emerge. Now, again, pool of selection it's going to happen eventually that there'd be some athletes come out and have some good wins. But really, this kind of came down for me anyways. It came down to just the talent of the teachers would finally emerge. And it's not that I'm saying that they're bad teachers, but eventually they were going to do the traveling, they were going to get the skill set, and you were have, you know, people doing full rules Muay Thai at gyms here and there, but you really didn't have a lot of, you know, kickboxing-focused gyms, and they didn't produce a lot of kickboxing athletes internationally, but it's starting to happen. And, you know, lucky for them, they don't even have to travel. And Nagashima, Him coming down here and being a part of Kunlun in general just kind of speaks to the paychecks that you are getting when you compete for some of these Chinese organizations. Now, of course, it's a little bit weird with Kunlun because they don't have a system that's easy to follow. They have it's like a one-night TV show, and it's easy to understand the TV show, and the TV show starting to, use a lot of familiar names. But as far as, getting a read on, putting this organization together in this way or a ranking system or something like that. The ranking systems that they put out didn't make any sense, and it's not easy to follow in that way. But as far as kickboxing entertainment goes, they're putting on a lot of great fights, and they're giving a lot of fighters the opportunity to make this their job, which is what we really want. We want people to be able to make kickboxing their career. So Junichi Nagashima, coming down from, who's got those opportunities in Japan. Japan's one of the few places in the world where you do have opportunities between Crush and, Rise and K1, of course. Because K1 hasn't focused on 70 kgs as much, he has now, fighting, of course, as on the other organizations that I mentioned, he's now getting the opportunity to come down and train. And I think that's what they want. Now, of course, the crowd goes crazy for anything that the Chinese fighters do. I realize watching this fight, they go even more crazy when it's a Chinese fighter versus a Japanese fighter. Of course, there's a lot of history there, and, I don't want to get into it too much, but it seems to be that way throughout the world. There's a country that you usually cheer a little bit louder for your athletes to beat their athletes. And this happens here in the States, where I'm from. Originally, I'm from Minnesota. When I was in Minnesota, the state over Wisconsin, we have rivals. So if we win against Iowa, no problem. We go against Illinois, no problem. We go against, Green Bay, or if we go against Wisconsin, there's a little bit more energy there, same thing for Canada and USA hockey. Canada, it's their sport. They've got the best athletes. USA beats Canada in hockey, the whole country shuts down, and they can't wait till you compete again. It's a big deal for you to not lose to them. So, or for them to not lose to us, I should say. So, in this way, Guhu was, you know, dominant throughout. I thought in the beginning he was a little bit too wild. He started doing, you know, effective wild here and there, but for the most part, he just made it a sloppy match. A lot of jump kicks, a lot of spin kicks, a lot of, you know, high kicks, threw punches here and there. Nakashima never got going. He looked to kind of catch Guhu in exchange, and the opportunity never came. But the Guhu I preferred was at the end of the second round and the third round. I thought he was a lot calmer. I thought he looked for selective shots. I thought his boxing was cleaner. I thought he found moments for the low kick. Nakashima has never put together complete kickboxing performances. He's just had moments where if he hits you the right way, he can drop you. So he is a guy who, I mean, I won't rule out his ability to win decisions, of course. He's got him in his past, but I think he was probably relying on catching Guhu in between. It did not come, and he ends up losing a decision. Can't remember if there was a down in the fight. I think there was. I think he dropped Nakashima at one period of time. But for the most part, it was a dominant decision for Guhu. The other part of the tournament was Jam Thong, as he took on Warren Stevelman. And shout out to Warren Stevelman, who I actually thought put up a pretty good effort. Jam Thong, of course, very slick, played the counter punches, grappled at the right time. You know, of course, grappling isn't legal, but he looked for shots here and there. Warren Stevelman brings that fight. I don't care who you are. He's always going to get his combination flow together at some period of time. He's going to look for his low kicks. He just wasn't able to do it consistent enough, but man, I could see that being tough on some judges' scorecards, but I thought Jam Thong did his thing. He's, you know, Jam Thong, Chuatana, he's a veteran, a guy who's been, you know, as decorated a stadium fighter as you're going to find as far as the international scene goes. And, you know, he's been looking for opportunities to compete, you know, in China and so on, and he's been getting them. I thought this was just a slick, ho-hum performance. It wasn't really a you know, standout performance for me. I thought it was just him being the superior fighter and getting his work done. The tournament final, of course, then becomes Jam Thong versus Guhu. It was very dominant for Jam Thong. He scored a down with during an exchange late in the first round. He just kept playing the counter, kept playing a step back. Guhu never got going. Southpaw versus southpaw, never found his niche. Never found that straight left hand, never found his wild offense. Just Jam Thong, just he's seen it all. If there's one thing that I always say, you know, I say it a joke to my students all the time. I go, the reason why it's so tough to go to Thailand and beat the elite Thais is what are you going to do that they've never seen before, you know? What are you going to do to somebody who's been seeing strikes come their way since they were three years into their grade school years, you know? Well, I guess I don't know how they do their grade school system, but since someone's like 8, you know, a lot of them start around 12, if that's what they've started at, now they're, you know, towards the end of their career, they're 28. What are you going to do? Combination low kick to them? You think they ain't seen it? Jam Thong, too skilled, found, you know, scored a couple. I think he even scored a down in the third. I can't remember correctly, but just too skilled, too dominant. He wins this tournament, you know. Guhu gave some effort. I thought Warren Stevelman gave Jam Thong a better fight, but definitely be on the lookout for Guhu, Guhui. And then, of course, Jam Thong, he is a veteran. He's a guy who's, you know, I won't say legend in Thai because I feel like the legend's thrown around too much, but he's up there, you know. Single fight action, we had Artur Kashenko rematch Donatan Oliveira. Artur Kashenko is one of the best fighters in the world. I would have never imagined that he'd grow into a bigger weight and be as dominant as he is. I always thought that because the money was around 70 kgs, he would have to figure out the balance of keeping his weight low and being as effective as he could and not taking too much offense back because it's so difficult. I thought that would always be the fight for him. Oliveira is a guy who, he's also starting to grow a little bit bigger, starting to put on some muscle, not looking like the guy who, you know, competed at, you know, 77 kgs for glory. But I've never been very high in his skill set. I think that he's had good moments here and there, but I just think that he'd always struggle with the elite, with what he brings to the table. Artyshenko, I thought he won all three rounds. He does a good job of playing 1-2-1s, 2-1-2s, jab-jab, cross-jab. Like, he plays a lot of straight offense, finds his low kick here and there, looks, you know, double hooks. He has offsetting boxing style. And in this fight, he returned to digging to the body. Big-time rips with the left hand downstairs. It's, for those of you who saw him coming up, that's what he was known for. Artyshenko was known for hitting to the body. Like, there are highlights of him scoring body shot stoppages where people are blocking the body shot, where their arm comes down to defend their rib from getting the shot, and then it goes through anyways, or they feel it anyways, and they go down just because of the commitment and the hips and the everything he threw into those body shots were something else. He was not joking with those shots. So shout out to Artyshenko, put on a good performance. You know, he's selective about his kicking offense, but he's serious about his boxing offense. Serious about finding knees, and his movement has always been really, really good. It is exceptional as he's moving into the bigger weights. One of the best fighters in the world. I really want to see him. I want to see him compete in glory just because I want to see how he does against those guys. But he's making good money in China. He's consistently finding the opportunity to live as a prize fighter. And, you know, him and his family are located in Spain now. It is his team. You know, everybody's dedicated to his improvement and his growth. So we'll see what comes from it down the road. Bacal had a fight against Wang Weihu. Wang, W-A-N-G. Weihu, W-E-I-H-A-O. Bacal, of course, is spelled by Bacal. I'm not going to spell that out for you because if you don't know how to spell Bacal's name, this probably is not the podcast for you. Bacal dominated Wang Weihu. Dominated him. Absolute bloodshed beatdown. Over with in a round. You know, dropped with punches, dropped with high kick. Ref came in and stopped it. Bacal, here's my thing with him. The competition's starting to get there. You know, like, they're bringing in good guys for Bacal to possibly test himself with. I mean, I would rather, you know, him see, you know, fight some of those guys. Lately, there's been some infusion guys, you know, Sergio Cantors and stuff like that. There are some guys like that who are making their way over. Every once in a while, you'll see a glory guy here and there. I'd rather him fight one of those guys. I don't know if it's in their contract that they'd rather the, you know, a Chinese athlete go against Bacal. I don't know if that's what their preference is. But, man, he needs to fight some different people. Like, it's no offense to this guy, but, you know, he had no chance. And Bacal is still, even though he's getting older, he still has elite skill set. And he can still beat some of the best fighters in the world. It's so weird for me to see the top 7, you know, 10 fighters in the world, you know, and not see Bacal's name listed on a lot of people's list at 70 kgs. But his skill set is still there to be on that list. He is not, you know, lost the skill to, sure, he can be caught here and there. It's front page news every time he loses. You know what I'm saying? It's all over the internet. But he's still a very skilled guy, and I want to see him return to fighting other very skilled guys. But time will tell. That's just kind of the life of the fight world. I am going to go to, we're going to go ahead and go to another event in China. The Amir Legends event in China took place on the 9th. It had some names that you guys will be familiar with. One of the names is a guy who, of course, becoming more and more, you know, every day, every competition, one of the better fighters in the world, Murat Gregorian. Murat Gregorian is an awesome fighter, and the beatdown he put on Steve Moxon is just something else. First of all, Murat Gregorian has always had the combination to kick flow. He's had it down since the very moment he emerged, at 19 years old, fighting in, it's showtime, fighting, you know, internationally. He's always had pressure, and he's always had combination to kick flow. He will never struggle with those things. Steve Moxon got in trouble with those early. Steve Moxon, throws some shots, and on the retreat, he receives a head kick for his trouble. Steve Moxon goes down. After a 10-count, Murat Gregorian comes in, scores a lot of step-up knees, a lot of combinations, and the ref comes in and stops it. Murat Gregorian's a beast. Another guy who needs to be a regular on the K-1 scene. I'm not going to lie. Part of me would prefer that it was him going against Robin Van Roosmalen at the end of this month. Not because I've got anything against, you know, Sitsang Pingnong. I've got nothing against him, Sitachai. But I'm just a big fan of Moroccan Gorian, and he lost a split decision. I would want to see those two styles clash again. But the right man won when Moroccan Gorian, you know, fought him. So we'll see what happens to that down the road. Other notables from this card, it's got some stuff all over the place. Some names that you would know, Matsukura Shintaro gets a victory over Namjan Talubuev. I've mentioned Matsukura before. I believe I've mentioned him on one of the K1 cards. Anvar, of course, I've mentioned this one before. Boynazarov is a guy who's fought in Glory, and he's fought, I don't think he fought in Lion Fight. I don't know why I think he did. But anyways, he's fought in Glory a couple times. And he gets a first-round TKO over Mikhail York, another guy who fought in Glory. York's had a bad run because between losing here and then the way that he lost to Musab Amrani, he's had some tough goes. But shout-out to Anvar. He's keeping himself busy. He's keeping himself active. I'm glad that he was able to fight in China because would like to go get his family. You know, that's a big deal. He's trying to make enough money to get his family and bring them over to the States where he is training, where he's located now. Just wasn't the case. But we'll see. You know, hopefully he's, you know, put enough money. He's worked out the legal documents and he's able to get the family over. I definitely hope that for him. I've mentioned before, Liulei. He gets a KO victory over Mano Yushiki. Let me see. Any other notables on this card? Nope, I think that's it for the names that you guys would know. But definitely look for that Murat Gregorian Steve Moxon KO. It's awesome stuff. And again, this just shows it's another event going down in China. So it's so cool that there's just a regular basis of them putting out elite cards. And there's a lot of companies doing it. Because if you can get yourself on TV there, man, do they have the opportunities for you to get viewership because there's so many people. So these TV shows are going to be sustainable and they'll be around for a while. So hopefully promotions can keep going. And I mentioned it, you know, several months ago, there's a good chance that China could one day be the center of kickboxing. I'm just hoping that they get more cards in Beijing, in a place where people can, you know, wow, I can't believe that the card is there. Because that's what we had when we had K1 and we had K1 Max. There was the idea of you were going to Japan. And then Japan came the center of kickboxing. And everybody's eyes in the world was like, I'm going to grow up and be good enough to beat everybody in my country. And I'm going to go fight for, you know, fight in Japan. And that's kind of how it was. We need to have that city, you know. And right now, you know, Europe definitely has always done its job of having big-time kickboxing and big-time kickboxing audiences. But, man, I would love it if, you know, somebody's like, all right, no matter what, I'm going to have $1 million purse for the best 70-kg fighter in the world, and we're going to do a 16-person tournament, and 16, you have your elimination in March, and we're going to do that in Shanghai, and we're going to do the final in Beijing every single year in November. That would be awesome for us, so gonna go ahead and go to Florida, my country, Daytona Beach. There is a card where I believe it is called Florida FFC, and they're kind of making their, I guess what you'd call their debut. I don't know if there's any broadcast information on it, but it just happened on the 4th, and brought in, you know, a couple names that you guys might have known about. Modern Brestovic, he takes on Steven Banks, and he wins by head kick. Mladen Brestovic has got one of the sneakiest head kicks for a softball fighter ever. It comes really, really fast, and it shoots up the side of your body. It doesn't come wide over your shoulder. It just kind of shoots right up the side of your body, and it can catch you if you're punching, if you're retreating, if you're not ready for it. It just, the angle to it is so sharp and direct. You know, like if you look at Mirko's KOs, a good perfect example. A lot of Mirko's KOs came outside and over, like because he's so flexible. He's able to you know, bring them over the top. He can bring them over your guard. Ribomajowski the same. He can shoot the head kick over your guard. You know, there are a lot of guys who are flexible or just have that kind of a kick. Mladen's, it's just so direct. It's so direct and violent that I was like, hey, you know, when he was fighting for the title, I was like, you got to make sure you're looking out for this one, Rico, because it's a sharp shot, and Rico did a good job of defending it. But he's always struggled with winning on points. He's struggled with winning, you know, over the duration of rounds. But Stephen Banks, who's a veteran guy, who's fought all over the world, he fought in the Infusion reality show in the heavyweights, if I remember correctly. He's always known because he's comes out there. He's a big guy. He's kind of got a belly on him. But he can do the splits really, really easy. And he just wasn't a match for Mladen Brustovic, who not only is a more seasoned kickboxer against, you know, more consistent high-level competition, he's just a better fighter. We got other fights on this card. I'm just trying to say some names. Michael Stevens getting a victory over Cyrus Washington's big because we need more Americans to emerge. I did not get to see this fight. Cyrus Washington, of course, he's fought in, you know, pretty much all over the world. He was, in one period of time, he's going to be on the second season of the Contender Asia, which was the Muay Thai show, but it just never turned about. He's had a lot of opportunities. Got to fight in Thailand a lot. He's really enjoyed his experience. He's got to be a trainer. Michael Stevens getting this win is big because you want the next guy to come up. Other than that, local guys, guys from the States kind of getting their opportunity. And I will be watching, see if some of these names emerge, see if we see some of these names across the country. But just wanted to go ahead and point out those guys as the main notables from the card. Going to go ahead and do a couple more notes before I move on to what will be the final card of this edition of the podcast show. The final card, of course, will be the Muay Thai Grand Prix card from the other night. But the notes, they finally announced some of the cards. Joe Schilling, is going to, you know, of course, go against Hasaka Kato. Got the big KO over him in MMA. The Bellator kickboxing thing. Uh-oh, something is going on in the background. Bellator kickboxing thing. They put together this card. And that is the main event. Raymond Daniels will go against Stefano Bruno. And Carrie Melendez, who had such a, you know, entertaining kickboxing debut when she fought for Bellator last year at their Dynamite show, she will go against Sarah Howell. So that should be a lot of fun. Definitely want to see that. Crush has got a card going on this weekend. Don't want to get into all the fights in that card. I'll definitely, you know, bring them up down the road if the results have something that I feel is, you know, of relevance to us. Let me see here. This card that's been announced for July 2nd is awesome. First of all, most important thing I want to bring up is this. Jemima Betrain is returning to fighting. It's been a while. She's a very good fighter, very good athlete, very young. I put her in the rankings and I said she'd be higher. She was competing more. And now she's competing. So I'm very excited about that. She will take on Ngong Yongyu of China. And then another fight from this card that has to be mentioned. Fukai Joy is going to take on Armin of Thailand. That's kind of a small notable in comparison to the main fight that I want to talk about. Main fight I want to talk about from this card. I guess I want to save it till we're a little bit closer. But man, it's just Philip Verlinden is going to go against Adesanya. It's a guy who just Adesanya is out there getting awesome KOs in MMA and everything. Like, he's doing a great job of promoting, getting his cool KOs, whatever. But in kickboxing, he's struggled to beat the elite guys, and that's what he needs. Adesanya has got to beat elite guys. So he's still fighting out in Australia, defending, you know, his title, winning down there, doing good work. I'm excited to see what happens from him. You know, he's fighting in China. He's fighting and all over the place. But this rematch is huge, you know, because, you know, Israel's got every skill, you know, as far as the excitement and the kickboxing goes. But, man, when Israel Adesanya, I believe I'm pronouncing it right, Adesanya fights Philip Verlinden, fights elite kickboxers, he's yet to get that big win. So, really, he's just schooling guys that aren't that great. We got to have that. That's the next thing he needs moving forward. Going to go ahead and wrap that news up and go ahead and go into the final card that I'm going to break down. Like I said, won't be the longest show today, but I wanted to make sure I got you guys a show. The Muay Thai Grand Prix, first of all, it had a lot of news surrounding it. First of all, the big news, of course, was Muay Thai Grand Prix is going to be working with Lion Fight so that Lion Fight athletes in the States can come over to England and England athletes who have already been coming over, they can come over and compete in Lion Fight over here. It's one of the more interesting things that I've ever experienced, you know, as far as watching just kickboxing and Muay Thai progress. It happened when Daniel McGuigan won for Muay Thai Grand Prix last time. And he got a victory. And after he got a victory, he said, they said, what's next for you? And he goes, oh, I got him. You know, he said, I'm hoping that Lion Fight brings me back. You know, I fought well, and then I took an elbow, and then that was kind of what will the end of the, you know, the got a cut, and that was kind of the game, and I lost. He said to them, so I'm hoping that I get an opportunity to go back. It freaks me out that athletes in England desire to come over to America to fight for an American Muay Thai promotion. That's really, really weird to me. Now, again, I keep forgetting that, you know, a lot of these shows are done in, like, Vegas, and, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, it's got to be pretty cool to come over and fight in Vegas. But I keep forgetting that those travel opportunities are part of what this game is. So when he got that opportunity, despite the fact that he took that, you know, he's winning the whole fight and he took an elbow and then that kind of ended the fight for him, that's the goal for a lot of those guys. And then, you know, adding to it was the news that Lion Fight, they have a deal that works out. They worked out a deal with Amon Barlow. So Amon Barlow, it's big for Lion Fight, of course, because they got to fill the hole that they have with Tiffany Von Soest. Tiffany Von Soest was a big draw. Her moving to kickboxing and focusing on MMA. They wanted somebody who was able to come over and fight for them. But, they needed to work that out with Iman's obligations to Infusion, because Iman is their girl. Iman is the kickboxing. She is the female star for them. She's a big draw for them when she's in England. Plus, she goes and she fights the elite girls at all the places that Infusion goes to. Infusion very much has a similar business model to its Showtime, where they go and who they compete with. And Iman is part of that. That's why she couldn't do the tournament. It conflicted with her Infusion obligations. So the fact that they have now signed something, I'm assuming it allows for her to still be there. And because she's fought for Muay Thai Grand Prix before, it just kind of all worked out well. I was pretty excited about hearing how it all came together for her. And that relationship between Lion Fight and Muay Thai Grand Prix, hopefully it gives what's the most important thing that they need. And the guy, the owner of, Lion Fight kind of said it really, really well in an interview. He said, the main thing that whenever I asked all the guys, Kevin Ross, anybody who's ever really fought for me, the main thing they asked me is consistent fights. He said, this is an opportunity to get them consistent fights. And it really is. Because if you can fight for Lion Fight here in the States twice a year, and did you can go over fight Muay Thai Grand Prix twice a year, that's at least four. That's at least four. You know, so still got to find more fights. But that could get you at least four. And that's usually what that's usually their process. That's usually how much they use their athletes. Muay Thai, you know, opens up for, they need more opponents, of course, for Urina Bars. So that's a great opportunity for her. Definitely excited about that. Hopefully, you know, some of the English girls who are of bigger weight would be excited about the opportunity to fight for Lion Fight. And not one be a huge weight, but, you know, 135, whatever that. So definitely excited about that. And the card in general had some pretty entertaining stuff. First of all, John Wayne Parr beating Pavlos Kapanis. Pavlos Kapanis, I don't know if a lot of you guys know who this is, but he is Mariana Callergy's coach. He's very well known for coaching Mike Zambides back in the day. He's got a lot of international guys that he's produced out of his gym. He's an older guy. John Wayne Parr is 40 years old. I like this type of a matchup. John Wayne Parr, of course, stronger of the two, bigger of the two, gets the victory, a unanimous decision. John Wayne still has the will, puts the work in the gym. He just doesn't have the strength and the power that he had when he was young. You know, that wasn't as nothing more clear than when he went against Cosmo Alexander, and he had that series where he just came out and he just threw the 1-2s and 3-2s at Cosmo, and he did it for about 30 seconds, and all Cosmo did was kind of move and, you know, put his guard up, and like he even smiled at one period of time. When they first met in Australia, he would not have been smiling when John Wayne was throwing that heat because it was a younger, stronger guy. It's just kind of what happens to you with age. But John Wayne Parr, there's a lot of guys that are still, you know, around, you know, the weight class that he competes at who are a little bit older. And I think that, and there's some good fights to be made there. They're not all going to be dominant one-sided fights for him. I think there's some good fights to be made there. So shout out to John Wayne Parr. As I said, we always love John Wayne. John Wayne was a guy who's been posting on the kickboxing forums and Muay Thai forums for a very long time. Like back when 2002, when he was coming up, when he's fighting in K1, all those times he's on the line and he was interacting with the community. So we love John Wayne Parr. We always want him to do well. So shout out to John Wayne. Good victory. Charlie Peters gets victory over Nazit Trujillo. KO, which earned him KO over the night. Charlie Peters is a good fighter. You know, I want to see him more. He's another guy who I'd like to see more in the blind fight brand. Of course, I'm going to get that opportunity. Also like to see him make the trip over to China. Like to see how he would kind of do internationally, you know, to the east as well. So definitely a big fan of Charlie Peters. Kevin Vidal gets a performance of the night after his TKO victory over Matt Tiu. I didn't get to see this fight, but, you know, this is the one that I think most people were talking about as far as entertainment goes. So shout out to Vidal. And then who wins the they've had titles, by the way. Peters retained the Muay Thai Grand Prix welterweight title or world welterweight title. The featherweight title was won by Vidal with this victory. And then Daniel McGuinn gets a TKO stoppage, his second stoppage in the world in a row. He gets this one over Renad Hasdorf, and that took place in the second round, and he became the new world bantamweight champion for the promotion. So definitely shout out to him. One other one that I wanted to make sure I noted. It's a good full card. I won't break down the whole card, but wanted to definitely bring up that Bernice Aldis gets a victory over Anil Angerville by unanimous decision. Bernice, of course, fighting back. Bernice came back. She had one fight, and then she went in there with Tiffany Von Seuss. Tall order after you've been out of the sport for 2.5 years. Tiffany's is as hard a fight as you're ever going to get, because not only is it just her angles and her speed, her athleticism, it's not something that you can easily prepare for. You've got to try to get it in the gym. You can't watch Tiffany Von Seuss on film and then think that, okay, this is what I'm going to do to shut this down. No, you've got to try to bring in some athletic person to try to move like her so that you can try to get a read on it. And if you can, try to take a fight against a decently athletic person, which there isn't that many in the female world. What I mean by decent athlete, I mean somebody that can move the way she does. There's not a lot of women that do that. Running, jumping, speed. That's what I mean by athleticism. I'm not saying that you can't perform the techniques, but to get that look, you need that kind of an athlete. And Bernice Aldis didn't have that. She kind of went in there off of, you know, Muay Thai skill, confident that, you know, the fight will kind of play out at a Muay Thai pace, and she'd be able to get her in a clinch eventually. And Tiffany's all over the place. Tiffany's just a plus. Tiffany was so hungry on that return to get that title back. Just a great performance by Tiffany. Bernice Aldis hadn't fought since then, and she came out, put on a great performance here. The line fight connection means that she could probably get more opportunities down the road. I'm excited about seeing Bernice Aldis fight again. She's got an entertaining style. Like, if you want to see somebody who's crafty, she brings that style to it. So she's a lot of fun. Definitely hope good things come down the road. I saw the thing with Tiffany Von Seuss and Iman Barlow. I definitely think that it's let it happen in the ring. That wasn't enough. Basically, some gentleman asked that he didn't understand that Tiffany was no longer with Lion Fight, and she had moved on to Glory. So when he saw that Iman Barlow had signed with Lion Fight, he thought that, he said, it's one step closer to this fight, you know, to the fight happening. And then, Iman, completely joking, kind of said, you know, she said, Von who? Knowing that she's no longer in the organization or whatever. Tiffany took that to, you know, as an insult, saying that, oh, you know, Von Sush, you know who I am, that kind of deal, whatever. So then she kind of put it on score, and she kind of cooked that clip, and then she's like, leave my name out of your mouth, that kind of stuff, whatever. I do hope that that's not the fuel behind this fight. Like, that, I do think it was a joke. I think Iman later then even got onto Twitter and said, hey, you know, the British and our humor, that kind of stuff, whatever. When these two women meet, it will be a great, great fight, and the action and the skill of the athletes is all that needs to happen. I do think that the thing with Iman and Glory, that definitely is in conflict with the infusion thing. I think that's the reason why she wasn't able to do the tournament thing. And I think that she was expecting to do one fight. And I do like that she made it clear that the fight that people want to see is me and Tiffany. So if you guys want me to do a one-off, I'll do that. And I think that that's great. I think they should do that. But I can also understand why Glory is a brand that needs to protect itself. If we've got a champion, whoever fights that champion needs to fight for our promotion. So hopefully that, you know, the Tiffany will be allowed, or Iman will be allowed to make this thing happen. But they are very skilled athletes, and we'll see what happens down the road. But I want their skill to determine what happens in that fight. So that's all I got for this show. Short show. Wanted to make sure I got some kickboxing action to you guys. I'll be back at the end of this week. I think I will do another episode of the Glory series. I haven't decided which one I'm going to do yet, but I think I'm going to do another one, and then we do some stadium fighting as well. So I'm going to start the show with some stadium fighting, about 4 or 5 stadium fights, let you guys know what's going on in stadium world, and then I'm going to get into another one of my summer series. So God bless. Thanks for all the people who follow. And then definitely, you know, tough. You know, heard, you know, bad news, what's going on in Orlando and my country. There's a shootout, you know, at some, a terrorist shootout at some club over in Florida. So definitely, you know, my heart goes out there. I know some people aren't as, you know, high on the term thoughts and prayers in our country, because everybody tries to make everything about kind of gun laws, or people are, it's just kind of a split. It's real nasty. I can't even go on Twitter right now. It's so bad. But like, really, as a Christian guy, when we use the term thoughts and prayers, what we mean is one time Christ is walking with the people, and he sees that they're mourning over Lazarus, and he mourns with them. And it means that he who had the ability to raise him up immediately felt sad because everybody around him felt sad. It's a way of being sympathetic. It's a way of being there with someone in a tough time. So that's all we mean by thoughts and prayers. We don't mean, you know, don't go after gun laws or whatever, but that's kind of what we mean. We mean it in a way of speaking to the heart of the victim. We don't mean it in a way of stopping whatever the views are of guns and so on. So I apologize if me saying thoughts and prayers with those individuals, but I do desire that, you know, nobody would come to harm in that way. But I do understand that it's a scary world. So definitely want to be out to those people in Orlando. A shout out to everybody who's been following my podcast for as long as you have. And I'll try to keep bringing that kickboxing entertainment to you. Thanks. God bless you. You guys have a good one. Peace.